1st, Governor Evers says there's no evidence of a security crisis at the U.S.-Mexico border, so there's no reason for Wisconsin's National Guard troops to be there. He issued an executive order yesterday withdrawing the soldiers from the area. That move reverses a decision by then-Governor Walker, who sent the troops to Arizona last summer to help secure the border. A member of the Wisconsin National Guard, Illinois Congressman Adam Kinzinger, criticized Evers on Fox News yesterday.
I'm curious if the governor of Wisconsin ever bothered to go down and see what his men and women were doing in the border to support Border Patrol and to protect the Wisconsin community. Because when I was there, he never showed up. He never showed up, and he would have seen the drugs that we took off the street. He would have seen the people that we rescued in the desert. And he would have seen his helicopters moving Border Patrol into rough areas to apprehend people that otherwise they would have to walk 2 or 3 miles in.
In addition to Evers, the governors of New Mexico and California have also announced that they're bringing some or all of their Guard members back home. Terrence Garrett is a professor of public affairs and security studies at the University of Texas Rio Grande Valley in Brownsville. He also served in the Oklahoma Army and Air National Guard. Terrence, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Sure, glad to be here.
What kind of duties are National Guard members from states around the country carrying out along the border?
Well, largely as support. I mean, because of the Posse Comitatus Act of 1878, it circumscribes what they can do as a result of federal troop involvement in Reconstruction and ending Reconstruction. So the idea or the principle is that unless authorized under various titles, Title 10 particularly, where there's a direct threat, it's just not likely that any federal troops, and even National Guard troops, for that matter, can really conduct any sort of apprehension or do anything other than surveillance and support. So,
but does that surveillance and support with the troops there make a difference for the people who can do those jobs? Are they freeing up Border Patrol agents, for example, to do those more of those apprehensions?
Well, I mean, in terms of apprehensions, I mean, if you look at the number of apprehensions, I mean, we're in a 300,000 to 400,000 range as compared to 2000 when it was 1.6 million. I mean, if you look at that in terms of annual figures, there's just simply no way that it even compares. I mean, we're talking about an 83% drop in terms of apprehensions from 2000 to like 2018, where we had the most recent data. The fact of the matter is that the trend has been downward since 2000. So to say that there's an emergency is really a hard sell.
Right. You've made the case elsewhere, I think, that the calling up of National Guard troops to the border is, in a way, a way to build up support for a wall. Can you talk about that?
Yes. One of the things, certainly, I mean, it's actually said directly by President Trump, both publicly and in his tweets, that in effect that he's going to use the troops. I mean, there are 5,200 federal troops that were here along the border from about October through December, and then they were sent back. They did manage to lay some concertina wire, which really gives sort of a good sort of theatrical or effect. I mean, if you already have a wall and you go to points of entry and you put barbed wire or concertina wire around the fence, it's sort of, it leaves sort of a picture that somehow that we're desperate or in need of further wall building. I think that and the 2,000 or so National Guard troops that have been sent down from fiscal year 2017, effectively, he's trying to demonstrate that there's a need for more infrastructure, and by sending troops down to the area. But the problem is, out of 19,500 Border Patrol, about 18,000 of those are on the U.S.-Mexico border, and that's double the number that, since 2001. So really, in effect, in terms of surveillance, in terms of number of boots on the ground, and we already have 670 miles or so of border fence in place in strategic areas, effectively we've got the border pretty much covered. And you can see that based on the number of apprehensions and in fact the numbers are going down.
Talking to Terrence Garrett, professor of public affairs and security studies at the University of Texas Rio Grande Valley in Brownsville, talking about the use of National Guard troops at the U.S.-Mexico border as Governor Evers says he's bringing Wisconsin's National Guard members home from that duty. He wrote in a statement that he did not see, there does not exist a national security crisis at our southwestern border. Therefore, no justification, he says, for the ongoing presence of the Wisconsin National Guard there. Terrence, how much precedent is there for using National Guard troops at the border? This has been done before the Trump administration, is that right?
Oh, yes. It's been done by previous administrations. It goes a long ways back. In most instances, we're talking about a real emergency where you have actually had a surge. Like, for example, dealing with the numbers I mentioned previously at 1.6 million plus, that was deemed an emergency, and we sent troops down before under the Bush administration. So, there was a precedent for that, but the numbers simply just don't comport with those numbers, by any means. And we certainly, since 2000, we've had a lot more infrastructure put in place. I've been down here and watched the border fence in the Rio Grande Valley, about 110 miles or so, put in the 2006 to 2009 time frame. And the problem with the border wall is that it in Texas, most of the land is privately owned. So in the first building of the fence down here in this area, we're talking about 400 private tracts of land, resulting in addition to the $7.5 million per mile cost, court costs of about $72 million because there were 320 cases brought, eminent domain cases. So most people don't realize that the Secure Fence Act and the Real ID Acts of 2005, 2006, respectively, allow the government to condemn property. And the Fifth Amendment makes it to where individuals have to get a fair market price. And what's been shown previously is that the federal government didn't really, in many cases, give the landowner the proper due that they were supposed to have in terms of money that they were supposed to have gotten for their property taken. So what has happened is also, if you look at the amount of surveillance, you can go over to South Padre Island, for example, which is a resort area, and it's not actually anywhere on a border, although it is near Boca Chica Beach, which is on the border, and you see a what's called a tethered aerostat reconnaissance system, or TARS, and it's like a blimp with sophisticated surveillance equipment, and we have these arrayed all along the border from Yuma, Arizona, all the way down to here, and they can see a 500-mile radius surveillance, and they're pretty accurate. In addition, you've got tethered drones, you've got towers, you've got sensors, and that's in addition to the, as I previously mentioned, the 18,000 permanent Border Patrol agents just on the southern border.
In our last minute and a half or so, if there were one change, one investment that the U.S. could make at the border to, expedite claims of asylum in a fast and humane manner, or keep drugs out of the country, keep criminals from entering the country illegally, what big change or small change, for that matter, would you want to see made?
Well, okay, so I was asked to testify at the U.S. Senate Governmental Affairs and Homeland Security Committee in April for 2017, and I was asked that question by Senator Daines, and towards the end of the, he said, "Dr. Garrett, what should the United States do?" And I said, "I think we know what to do. What we need to do is stop the destabilization that's occurring primarily now in the Central American countries of El Salvador, Honduras, and Nicaragua, because that's where most of the migrants are coming from, and refugees. So, and part of that is, you mentioned drug trafficking, human trafficking. The drug trafficking the impetus for that is U.S. drug consumption. So if you take that impetus away, then you'll see less you'll take the incentive, economic incentive, away from these drug traffickers. And that also leads into other diversification by these criminal organizations into human trafficking, mineral theft, petrochemical theft, all throughout the region south of the United States. So that's what I said in at the Senate. And then what was interesting, your Senator Ron Johnson, who was the chair of the committee, actually agreed with what I said. And he also said that John Kelly, just prior to this, the hearing, said effectively what I said. So once again, we know what we need to do, and that is to stop, you know, the leaks at the border and start doing something in terms of having a comprehensive hemispheric policy.
Terrence, thanks a lot for joining us today. That was Terrence Garrett, professor of public affairs and security studies at the University of Texas Rio Grande Valley in Brownsville. We talked to them about the decisions by Tony Evers and two other governors to start withdrawing National Guard troops from the U.S.-Mexico border, and some of the latest news at the border and efforts to stop the flow of drugs there. As always, you can share your thoughts. Tweet us at Central Time WPR.